Welcome to your regional bonus monthly breakdown for the MMA Lockcast. This week, we're going over PFL Europe 1 for their 2024 season. It goes down in Paris at the Accor Arena. And I believe this is a much bigger arena than they were in last time around for Cedric Doumbé's PFL debut. They have sold this fight out. Apparently, they've opened up extra seats as well to even get more fans in there. And that just goes to show the popularity of Doumbé and even the rest of the fighters that they have on the card, especially in the co-main event with the Lazy King Abdul Abduragimov. Still going to take me a little while to get his name down, but I promise you it will come because we're going to be hearing a lot about that guy very shortly. So, as you guys know, every month I do one regional breakdown for, you know, a non-UFC, non-Bellator, and non main roster PFL card, and I put out the poll on the MMA Lockcast episode earlier this week for UFC 299, and it seemed like most of the love wanted to be for the PFL Europe card. So this will be the March edition. You have to wait till April to get the another regional breakdown card from your boy. But if you're looking for written breakdowns on all these upcoming regional events, your boy has you covered. A link for that is in the description below on the MMA Lockcast page, the MMA Lock of the Night Patreon page. Not only am I breaking down PFL and UFC this weekend, but we also have LFA going down on Friday and then ACA Saturday morning as an appetizer to the UFC 299 card that takes place later that day. So if you want breakdowns on all of those, check out the Lock of the Night Patreon page. And lastly, if you are wondering how I know so much about all of these fighters I'm going to break down for you guys and all the ones that I break down on the regional shows, the best way to do so is to go through the MMA Fight Archive. I am the architect for that service, and I provide as many direct links to past fights for all of these upcoming opponents, fighters, for predictors, handicappers, analysts, coaches, fighters. A lot of people utilize this service and they see value in it. You guys can check it out for a 7-day free trial. Check out the MMA Fight Archive. Link for that in the description below. And make sure you leave no stone unturned when you're researching these upcoming cards. All right. We got 12 fights on tap for this PFL Europe card. We had two fights fall off this morning at the weigh-ins. Mark Ewan is no longer fighting, as well as Marion Dimitrov and his opponent, Arhan Cartel, I believe his name was. But regardless, we still got 12 solid fights to get through. So I'm going to do this in a brief format, try to get through these as efficiently as possible. So let's kick it right off. First fight of the night, Yunus Najid coming in at minus 280, going up against Kevin Dell coming in at plus 220. No idea why either of these guys got signed to the PFL, more so maybe just to fill out the card and provide two Frenchmen who can go out there and maybe have some success. But both guys, very low level in my opinion. Najid likes, apparently he's an international Taekwondo specialist, but I don't see any of that in his striking style. Other than the hopping movement that we see, he seems to be most comfortable when he's able to take opponents to the ground and look for that top position to get a submission or a TKO. But he also has very horrible takedown defense, something that his opponent could possibly take care of or take advantage of, especially with the BJJ brown belt that Dell holds. Both guys, very low level. There is no need for Najid to be a minus 280 favorite in this matchup. I think that Dell can do enough to potentially pull off the upset. Now, I get it. The guy's 4-7-1, bad record, but at least he has wins over guys with winning records. The same could not be said for Yunus Najid. Najid has also been submitted by a guy that was 3-10 in the past. I believe that we can see Dell potentially have some success of his own and maybe wrap up a submission of his own to pull off the upset here. So I'm going to go with Dell, taking a very small poke on him, especially considering that the odds are way too wide in my opinion. So give me Dell and Dell by submission. Next up, we got Thomas Longowski going up against Florim Zandeli. Intriguing fight here. Longowski, a Polish fighter who has some decent power in his hands, but he seems to have bad takedown defense and inability to work back to his feet. But when he does eventually get back to his feet, whether it's from the round ending or just a mishap from his opponent, he usually puts out good pressure and good power with his punches. But Zandeli is a fighter that's clearly improving every time out. This is a guy that used to utilize his grapple-heavy approach too strictly, so that if he was unable to get his opponents out of there, you would see him really start to slow down later on in his matchups, which is why he went to a draw two fights ago. But we saw him rematch that same opponent and come with a much better game plan, showcasing his improvements in the striking game, utilizing that calf kicking to really damage his opponent's movement and his ability to muster up any power. And then closer to the ends of the round, we would see him resort to his grappling to control that round, put a stamp on that round. But he didn't even need the judges' scorecards, considering he ended up getting the fourth round TKO finish that night. But his striking is clearly improving. I love the calf kicking that he provides, but it's his ground game that is more than likely going to get his hand raised in most of his matchups. That's what's probably going to happen here against Lonkowski, considering Lonkowski's poor takedown defense. I believe that we'll see Zandelli utilize his calf kicks a little bit more to open up that takedown opportunity. And once he gets this fight to the ground, I think he will do a good enough job in terms of working to a dominant position and finding that finish. I don't mind him as a chalky spot here, especially if he continues to show improvements as he has over his last couple of fights. Next up, we got Alexander Chizov coming in at minus 110, going up against former Bellator fighter Daniel Skatidze, who comes in at minus 120. Now, Chizov was a part of the PFL tournament last year, but ended up coming up short against Akwon Duke, who was able to put him to the grinder in terms of his wrestling. Chizov has a decent defensive grappling game where he's able to stay out of too much danger off of his back. He throws up a few submissions here and there, has a decent grappling background of his own, but his takedown defense is a little bit of a flaw. And when he's able to keep fights in the upright position, he does a great job in terms of pressuring his opponents, staying in front of their face, and putting straight shots down the pipe on them. But his takedown defense has cost him fights in the past, and that could eventually come back to bite him in the butt in this matchup against Daniel Skatidze. Now, I haven't really been that high on Skatidze in the past, but when he does go out there and try to implement a grappler-heavy game plan, he usually ends up coming out on the winning end, especially if he has the advantage over his opponent in that realm. And the striking, he's a little bit wide, maybe a little bit reckless at times, but he does a good job in terms of closing the distance and eventually wrapping his opponent up against the cage, dragging them to the ground, and making it look great optically for the judges if fights ever do end up hitting the scorecards. He's been on a little bit of a bumpy ride recently, but I think if he goes back to his bread and butter of leaning on his grappling and his clinch game, he should be able to outwork, outgrind, and defeat Chizov on the scorecards. Next up, we got Connor Hughes coming in at minus 275, going up against Anatoly Ball, who comes in at plus 215. Now, Hughes is a guy that I've been pretty big on in the past, and even though he bit me in the ass two fights ago when he came up short against Dylan Tuke, we saw him come back with some dominance in his next fight where he was able to get the second round TKO. Normally, Hughes goes out there and drags his opponents to the ground and smashes them from that top position. He was unable to track down Dylan Tuke a couple fights ago, which caused him some frustration, and then Tuke was eventually able to get his back and control him for the last two rounds. But I think we're seeing some improvements, some patience, some discipline from Connor Hughes, and I think he'll be able to apply that effectively here against his opponent, Ball. Ball is normally a scrapper that likes to close the distance and land big shots on his opponents. He does a decent job in terms of taking fights to the mat and try to work from that top position, but he has a bit of a sketchy takedown defense game of his own. He's a little bit too erratic in the feet, which leaves openings for his opponents to take him to the mat, and if he is unable to get the early finish, more often than not, he starts to fall off later on in matchups. I fully expect Connor Hughes to take advantage of the takedown defense and grappling defense Anatoly Ball, and that should eventually allow Hughes to drag the fight to the ground, smash him from that top position, and probably finish him closer to the second or third round. Next up, we got the PFL debut of highly touted and highly acclaimed Patrick Habiroro, who comes in at minus 550. His opponent this weekend is Italian Claudio Pacella, who comes in at plus 385. Now, normally you don't see a lot of fighters spend a lot of time in the amateur scene, but Habiroro put together, I believe it was a 27-fight amateur record before coming to the pro ranks late last year. He has faced a lot of stellar competition on the regional scene, on the amateur scene, I should say, and he showcases a solid amount of athleticism and good power in his punches when he's able to close the pocket with his blitzing 1-2 down the pipe. He seems to struggle a little bit when guys try to wrap him up and take him to the ground and control him from that top position. That is still an aspect of his game I would like to see him improve before we get ahead of ourselves in terms of paying minus 550 for a fighter that seems to be more popular than he is skilled. Not saying he's a bad fighter, not saying he doesn't have a good amount of potential, but I think a lot of people are wrapped up in the fact that this guy has a solid following. Like, he's beating up guys on the amateur scene, and even his last couple of fights, he was kind of losing until he was able to turn the tables and eventually get the finish of his own. His opponent this weekend is a legit fighter, Pacella, who does not have as much amateur experience as Habirora, but has been training pretty much as long as Habirora in terms of the amount of time, or the first time that they stepped into the cage for amateur competition. Pacella is 3-1 as a pro, but I love what I see from this guy in terms of being able to crash the pocket, throwing big strikes and landing with big power, but also his ability to grind his opponents, whether it's up against the cage or dragging them to the mat and smashing them from top position. He's an SBG Ireland product, and it seems like former UFC fighter Carl Pendred has taken a liking to this kid, and he seems to have all the skills to be successful at this level. It seems like the PFL might be propping up Habirora here, but I think that Pacella has enough fight in him to potentially look like a solid underdog, especially around that plus 400 range that he's close to finding himself at. I wouldn't be surprised if he ends up finding himself in that plus 400 range come fight time. I think Pacella's worth a shot here. He can provide the type of game plan that would cause Habirora issues. You know, Habirora kind of at times has struggled to keep opponents off of him, and that's where opponents have been able to have success. Put him through the grinder, put him against the cage, put him on the ground, and grind him out from that top position. And Pacella seems strong enough to hold him in those positions as well. So I'm going to take a small shot here on Pacella to pull off the big upset. Again, there's going to be a lot of people on Habirora due to his popularity. You saw the pop that he got at the weigh-ins, but I think that we'll see Pacella actually be the better fighter come fight night. All right, moving on to the next fight, we got Mikhail Grogu going up against Islam Masarev. This is a heavyweight matchup that was put together on relatively short notice. Grogu is a guy that likes to go out there, stalk his opponents, and land big shots, but he's a little bit slow. He's a little bit plodding. There's nothing special about his striking game. There's nothing special about his footwork. He just likes to go out there and try to knock his opponents out. We've seen him start to slow down in the latter half of the first round, but luckily for him, he's been fighting guys that he can still go out there and steamroll. But he's fighting a very tough opponent this weekend in Islam Masarev, who's only coming into his third professional fight, but is a guy, in my opinion, who is far more skilled than Grogu. We see a lot of solid movement, good variety of shots, good leg kicks, good distance management, good speed, which was going to be his big advantage here against Grogu. And I think that Masarev could put together a good enough striking output, maybe even grind on Grogu up against the cage to slow him down, and then from there possibly take over in the second round where he should be able to posture up and find a finish. I could see him potentially looking to get this fight to the ground where he can really wear on Grogu, but Grogu, in my opinion, only has a puncher's chance to win this matchup. Masarev looks way more complete than what we've been seeing from Grogu as of late. Now, Grogu's been out of action for over a year. Seems like he's been cross-training at different gyms. I need to see that improvement inside the cage before I can go out there and bank on him to actually go out there and showcase better skills than what I've seen from Masarev in his actual live competition. So give me Masarev here, and I think he actually wears out a Grogu within 6-7 minutes and finishes him under that 1.5 round mark. Next up, we got Yassin Najid coming in at minus 205, going up against Danielle Michelli. Yassin is actually the twin brother of Yunus, who fights on the first fight of the night, and both guys don't bring a lot to the table. Again, Najid is a guy that fights similarly to his brother in terms of utilizing that Taekwondo style, but he feels most comfortable when he's able to engage in the body lock, drag his opponent to the ground, and then eventually find that dominant position to eventually get that finish. He's better than his brother in terms of asserting his top dominance and actually getting off some good submission attempts and ground and pound, but still a guy that can be taken advantage of, and I don't really trust him, especially at that minus 200 range. Luckily for him, he's fighting a guy in Danielle Michelli who doesn't really offer up much of his own resistance. He's a guy who went out there last time around and went to a no contest up against Peter Quilly in a fight where he landed an illegal kick that caused a nasty cut in and around the eye of Peter Quilly, and that fight was stopped about 20 seconds into that matchup. He's normally a guy that likes to crash the pocket with big strikes, likes to take his opponents to the ground and get that ground and pound off, but he is also easy to take down and grind on as well. The level of opponent that he's been beating, the last five opponents that he's defeated have a combined record of 24-43. He's been fighting very low-level opponents and usually utilizing his physical advantages to his success more so than his technical skills. Najeed, again, not a guy to trust in that minus 200 range, but still a guy I expect to go out there and defeat the likes of Danielle Michelli. I think this fight ends early. I think it ends with Najeed wrapping up a submission or getting a TKO from that top position, but nothing I want to trust my money with in this matchup. All right. Next up, we got the former PFL champion, actually the champion of the last season of PFL Europe. We got Jakub Kasuba coming in at minus 275. He takes on European MMA veteran Kane Musa, who comes in at plus 215. Now, last time around, Kasuba won the PFL championship by defeating John Mitchell, I believe the guy's name was. And he, you know, showcased a pedestrian first round. But in the second round, he was able to start to get his grind going and eventually was able to get Mitchell up against the cage, land a big knee, follow up a ground and pound, and get his hand raised there. Normally, Kasuba is a guy that looks to take his opponents to the ground and smash them from that top position. He's very strong from that top position when he's able to establish a half guard or a side control or something like that, but he's very good in terms of holding his opponents down. His striking is still improving a little bit, but it's good enough to keep him live in most fights, which is why he is undefeated to this point. But it's really his ground game that makes him so dominant and has made him undefeated up until this point. His opponent, Kane Musa, has been all over the European MMA scene, but is a guy that's definitely getting up there in age. He'll be 38 in a few months. You know, a guy that has had some chin issues a little bit in the past, a guy that has had some takedown defense issues in the past, especially against guys that normally look to take him down and just wear him out. He's a solid all-around fighter, but not the best in terms of getting over the hump of beating guys that are, you know, at Jakub Kasuba's level, in my opinion. I think we'll see Kasuba strike with them a little bit and eventually get that cage grind going, getting that ground and pound going, and eventually I think he grinds him out over 15 minutes. I think that Musa is skilled enough to stay alive in this matchup to not get finished, but I think it's going to be Kasuba grinding him out, utilizing his cardio advantage, which I think is going to be big in this matchup. And then from there, he should be able to win this fight on the scorecards. Next up, we got Yazeed Shusheng going up against Ignacio Capella. We got Shusheng coming in at minus 145. Last time around, we saw him lose to Dylan Tuke in a fight that was, you know, relatively inactive from either guy for the first 5 or 6 minutes. But I think you could give the slight edge to Shusheng, considering he was the one landing more strikes, the more effective strikes, even though there weren't many. But once they got caught up in the grappling realm, it seemed like the power and the size of Tuke really took over in that matchup, and Shusheng was unable to get off any of his own success, allowing Tuke to eventually get the back and sink in that rear naked choke. But Shusheng is normally a guy that relies on his power punching style early on in matchups, and if he's unable to produce a finish that early, he looks to get to the grind, pushing his opponents up against the cage, grinding them to the mat, and holding them down from that top position. His opponent this week, Ignacio Capella, has a solid winning streak going on, but he's not a guy that I think is all that skilled. His last matchup was a split decision victory over regional veteran Ego Husic, and that's a fight that we saw Capella utilize his patented power striking style, his wide winging hooks. Like, it seems like he only knows how to throw two punches. It's a right hook and a left hook, and he crashes the pocket with power every single time that he throws. But we see when he's unable to get his opponents out of there, he clearly starts to slow down because it sucks trying to hit somebody and they don't go down, or sucks trying to hit somebody and missing, and that causes you to slow down even more. If opponents can take him into deep waters, they're normally able to drown him and possibly beat him, but we haven't seen anybody beat him since the first professional fight that he had. I think it just comes down to him fighting opponents that are not as good as him. Husic is a solid fighter, but he just did not wear the damage well enough, which eventually caused the judges to score it in Capella's favor. But I think that Capella's style, he's going to have to learn the lesson the hard way, and I think that's going to come in this fight against Shusheng, who in my opinion is a better overall fighter. Shusheng can go punch for punch with Capella, and obviously that could produce a knockout for either side, but I think it's going to be the ability for Shusheng to get this going in the grappling realm to wear on Capella. And even though Capella does a good job in terms of staying out of bad positions, exploding out of bad spots, continuously having to do that against a guy that's going to continuously put you in those positions is going to make it harder and harder for Capella to eventually work back to his feet. So I like Shusheng here. I'm a little bit hesitant on the money line at minus 145, but I feel like I always just have this mental holdup against guys that have power punching styles and are capable of knocking their opponents out. But we can see like who has the wider path to victory here. And in my opinion, it's a guy like Xu Shen who has been known to mix it up and not just rely on power punches to try to get the W. So Xu Shen should win this fight. He has more paths to victory in this matchup. And Capella obviously doesn't seem to be taking MMA super seriously as he's been relatively inactive, hasn't been competing that often. His last fight was in February 2022. This is only going to be his second fight in 5 years. Like the guy just doesn't stay active enough. I'm going to go Xu Shen and Xu Shen by decision. The over 2.5 is a little intriguing to me as well. All right. Moving on to the next right here, we got Ibrahim Mané coming in at minus 400, going up against Chiquina Noso Pedro coming in at plus 300. Both guys solid physical specimens, but I think Mané has a solid five-fight winning streak going on and the better overall skill set. He is very educated in terms of the striking realm. Something that set up one of his last knockouts was his just persistence in terms of landing to the body of his opponent with the front kick up the middle, and then near the ending of the round, he just switched it up on his opponent by making it look like he was throwing a kick up the middle and then coming over top, almost like a question mark, but it wasn't really a question mark kick. It was a it's just the way he brought the kick up. It looked like he was going to the body again, and his opponent was already so damaged to the body that he started blocking to the body, and you saw him actually go up top instead, and that landed cleanly, put his opponent down, and he was able to follow up with the TKO finish there. He has a solid grappling game as well, if that's what he requires. He can take opponents to the ground and do big damage from on top, but he's, you know, he's getting up there in age. He's 34, 35 years old, but has a solid amount of experience under his belt, has a solid skill set, and I think that's going to will him to a victory here over Pedro. Pedro is a guy that normally likes to engage in the clinch, utilizes knees to the body of the opponent and try to wear them out there. But this is also a guy that can be grinded out in his own right. I feel that we'll see Mané put him in bad positions, put him up against the cage, maybe strike with him a little bit too, but eventually get this fight to the ground where he can do big work from that top position. Takedown defense, a little bit of an issue for Pedro. He pulled off a big upset victory in his last fight against the brother of Albert Duraev. But I think that we'll see Mané just a little bit more complete here. I can't see him getting out damaged in this matchup. I think we'll see Mané have the control the pace, dictate the pace, and then eventually grind this out over 15 minutes and get his hand raised on the scorecards. All right, that takes us to our co-main event between All right, let me try this. It's the Lazy King, Abduraguimov, coming in at minus 400, going up against Jack Grant, who's coming in at plus 300. Now, this is clearly the toughest test for Abduraguimov's MMA career, as Jack Grant is a solid, experienced, and veteran of the European MMA scene, has competed for some of the best promotions that Europe has to offer, and has put together a solid record. His last loss did come to Ian Garry, which was a five-round fight where we saw Garry get some solid positions and grind that fight out, but Grant got some solid positions of his own. Grant is a decent striker who normally likes to utilize that grapple heavy approach himself, but I think he's a little bit lacking in the grappling realm in terms of some of the technical advantages his opponents may have, and that's going to be especially important in this matchup against Abduraguimov, who in my opinion is a better pure jiu-jitsu specialist. We know Abduraguimov doesn't really have the greatest striking game. It's just his ability to get fights to the ground and then stick to his opponents like glue. This guy does not give his opponents many opportunities to reverse a position, throw up a submission, or even work out of the bad positions that he puts them in, and he just sticks close to them, waits for that opening. More often than not, it's him taking the back of his opponent and then from there sinking in the choke. And I think that's going to be the way that he ends up getting the victory here. I think the odds are a little bit wide considering that Grant, again, experienced fighter, should be able to hold his own in the grappling for the beginning portion of this, but I think it's just a matter of time before Abduraguimov eventually gets that dominant position that he needs to eventually find the submission and take it on home with him here. I like Abduraguimov. I'm going to pass on this minus 400. Maybe the under 2.5, not too bad of an idea. But for the most part, I think we see the Lazy King pick up his second victory with the PFL promotion. All right, that brings us to our main event, which currently has odds of a pick'em. It's been kind of going up and down the last couple of hours that I've been looking at, even from the moment that I you know, wrote down my graphics to hitting record, the odds went from minus 140 to now minus 115. So we got Cedric Doumbé coming in at minus 115, and his opponent Baki Basungura Khamsudinov coming in at minus 115 as well. But he was the one that seemed to be taking the action over the last couple of days. And then Doumbé bettors have been coming in and bringing that line back down to that pick'em range. Doumbé, we know what he's all about, right? This guy has tremendous kickboxing, big power in his hands, as he showcased in his PFL debut, where he knocked his opponent out in 9 seconds. But we still have to see the rest of his game. He has a couple of MMA fights under his belt already, and he has gone into the second round and showcased some decent takedown defense and his ability to put power on his opponents and finish all of them. But this is going to be his biggest test to date. You know, it's kind of surprising to me that the PFL has decided to put these young-ish MMA guys together so soon in a main event slot. Like, they should build them up a little bit more, and they could probably have a more anticipated matchup against each other when they have a couple more victories under their belt. But for some reason, they're deciding to put them together this weekend. Like I said, Doumbé, kickboxer, Khamsudinov. Now, when you watch his fights for Harry's FC, they list him as a striker, but you see him often taking his opponents down to the ground, utilizing sneaky trips, throws, and takedowns, and then smashing his opponents from that top position. He doesn't look like a striker when you see him fight, other than there was one fight where he did fight. It was Efrain Escudero, former UFC fighter, clearly way past his prime, where we saw Khamsudinov strike with him, and he hurt him on multiple occasions, and eventually I believe he finished him in the second round. So he does have the striking chops, but it seems like he is most dominant when he's able to implement that grappler-heavy approach, and that's clearly what he should be doing here against Doumbé. I think his striking is good enough to compete with Doumbé on the feet, hopefully to the extent that he doesn't get knocked out so quickly, but hopefully enough that he can eventually close that distance, get the clinch going, and eventually drag this fight to the ground where he will be able to have a clear advantage. Doumbé will show some solid resistance. He'll be able to work back to his feet. He might even be able to stop the first couple of takedowns, but I think it's going to be that cage grind and that grappling grind that Khamsudinov will continuously put on Doumbé here that will eventually wear down Doumbé, take away the knockout power, and allow Khamsudinov to just take over with the grappling, that top position, and possibly finding that late TKO in the spot. Doumbé will always be dangerous. You know, even though he might wear it a little bit more later on in the fight, he's obviously capable at any time to explode into a big shot that could drop Khamsudinov and put him out. But Khamsudinov, still very young in his career, 22 years old, 23 years old, but showcases a very high-level skill set. I'm going to go with Khamsudinov, a.k.a. Baki. I think, I was happy to take him around that minus 140 range. Might add a little bit more now that he's back down to pick'ems, but I think that he is the more complete fighter here. I think Doumbé just has that knockout threat. Again, similar to another fight that I was talking about earlier on in this podcast, who has the wider path to victory? And in my opinion, it's a guy, Khamsudinov, who is very strong, especially in the clinch, especially with his takedowns, and I think it's going to start to wear on Doumbé, and that's where we'll see Khamsudinov take over and eventually get the TKO late in this matchup. There you guys go. Breakdowns for PFL. It's the bonus episode of the MMA Lockcast. Appreciate all the love and support. The UFC 299 breakdown has been absolutely killing it. Later today, I'll drop my top 3 Dog of the Night candidates video, and then we obviously got a ton of other content coming for UFC 299 to close out the week. Again, if you want breakdowns on ACA and LFA, which also go down this weekend, you can find that in the written form on the Patreon page, MMA Lock of the Night Patreon page. Link for that in the description below. Otherwise, I will see you guys later today for the top 3 Dog of the Night candidates. See you guys then. Peace.